All right, let's open God's Word. Where we left off last night, see if we can make some headway. Got some beautiful work I want to do in Romans dealing with the three salvations. So let's open God's Word to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Small group tonight. I'm glad you're here. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into some conversation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful privilege it is to carry on the tradition of assembling ourselves as believers, and studying your word, worshiping you, Father, in spirit and in truth. It's so important, Heavenly Father, that we understand how to accurately see and understand the word of God. We dedicate now the next moments to the teaching ministry, the illuminating ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that we might accurately understand your word, that we might live our lives, fulfill our destiny, our purpose, our mission, that which we are left here on earth. It's so easy, Father, to become so distracted, so many battles that can be put in front to distract from the mission, the greater work. So, Father, we pray that you will post guards, that we can understand your word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, went to a pastor's conference. I want to come down here, and I want everybody to sit on these first two rows and just talk, kind of like a family. I don't like being up here sometimes, especially with what I want to do. I want you to understand how important where we are is. I don't want this assembly under any illusion, delusion, misunderstanding. Last week at the pastor's conference, things were really, really drawn to crucial issues. And I want you to know, in so many different groups, circles, assemblies, I will stay with that. I could go in and teach all aspects of the Christian life by faith, from salvation one, salvation two, blessings from God, any and everything, and have absolutely no problem. And in that regard of faith and trusting God, faith is what separates Christianity from religions. Last week, I, Rod, Dan, John, several other men that I've made fellowship with who see what we're doing here and see the Word of God the way we do, in our, I don't know what you want to call it, fellowship, I guess is a good word. I hate the word camp. But I want you to know, and you should know, we were called heretics. The statement made many times that if you think God wants your faith after you're a Christian, you're a heretic. And it just comes down, that's why what the little statement we've been dealing with, how you see the Word of God and what you hear the Word of God saying, people, it's just each one of us. Not me as the pastor, teacher with authority of the pastor, but Herman Maddox has to make his decision. Is my relationship with God by faith in everything, just trusting God? Or can I do? Can I obey? And is there a mechanical type of way that I used to teach to accessing God's power? And I went to the battle. And it was a rough one. I've never talked about it publicly. Don't know that I ever will. But you have to make up your mind, too, and I suppose you have. That's why you're here, and that's why there's only about 20 of us here. A substantial number of people of our old assembly still believe in a mechanical spirituality. Another close to third, I guess, something like that, believe in an obedience spirituality. And that's what it comes down to, is how you and I see the Word of God. What do you see God's Word saying? And I'm sorry about a lot of false issues that Satan had to put up here. But I understand it, and I had several pastors talk with me. It was good in the sense of encouragement last week, personally. But in our fellowship of pastors and all, it's a big battle. You don't like being called a heretic, and so you step back. Dan Hill, I stayed at his house. Dan and I did a lot of late night talking, and then a lot of talking Friday, and about this text. And we looked through some passages again, and just not really even encouraging each other, but it really confirmed our position. And especially when being attacked and are still being attacked, but without any type of expository teaching of God's Word. And the more that I examine God's Word in regard to anything that we're going to do with God, it's going to have to be by our faith. That's all that we have. And more convinced of it. And like I said, 20 here tonight, keep coming, come down to where, you know, if I walk in, it's just me. And I don't mean that the wrong way. Elijah runs off into a cave and says, "Just you and me, God." I'm not saying that. I know there are a multitude of people. I've met a whole assembly of believers at an independent Baptist church Sunday night. I honestly believe if I had said anything other than faith, it would probably ask me to leave. It makes spiritual sense. Faith. That's what you can do. Trust God. That's what we got to do. And then He does all the rest, and He gets all the glory. But I wanted you to know that. I wanted you to know things being said, and in regard to what we believe. And we just have to make up our mind and then just move on. I'm not here to battle anyone anymore. I'm not here to control anyone. I'm going to teach. I'm going to have personal relationships with people who want them, and that's going to be that. Because when you learn, things are going to have to be done by faith. We're just going to trust God. Then that becomes the whole momentum of life, in every area of life. The next time I do a series on marriage, or single life getting married, and marriage series, and family series, the whole thing is going to be so dynamically different than a control, superiority of authority, and all of these types of things that did a lot of characterizing. But the more I read God's Word from beginning to end, it's those people who dare to just trust God. Just trust Him. And that become those involved in the great faith chapter of Hebrews 11. And not only is it true, people, in regard to recovering from sin, but just in understanding His Word. And that's why we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's finish this up, and so we can move on to a really good study that I want to do. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, very quickly, we have verse 1. What did we have? Verse 1 is the introduction to the mystery. And then we saw in verse 2, what is the mystery? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the mystery. And then in verse 3, we had somewhat of a parenthesis, how we're not going to understand the mystery. Verse 4, how are we going to understand the mystery? By the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, how do I access the ministry of God the Holy Spirit? By faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit. People say, where's the verse about believing in the Holy Spirit? Of course, Christ trusted the Holy Spirit, but they, you know, that isn't enough. All right, so this is the flow. And then you recall in verses 6 through 8, and this is where we had to stop. Verses 6 through 8, we have the enemy. And you have to realize, and this is what's important, there's always the enemy to faith in the Holy Spirit to understand the mystery, to access that power that God supplies to us. Okay, so this is where we are at verse 8. Verse 1, let's read it. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God or the mystery of God. Now, what is it? I determined that you know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the mystery. Verse 3, how not? And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were mocked in persuasive words of wisdom. Now, how then are we going to understand it? But in demonstration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, even of power. Why? That your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men. You don't follow a man, but God has ordained a pastor. It's a tragedy because what God, or what Satan can do, he comes into a conflict and he gets people. There's such an abuse of so many things that God gives. Okay, you can abuse the gift of pastor teacher by putting this man, you know, all the way to the extreme of a pope, but you put this pastor and you don't listen to anyone else, and boy, whatever he says is it, and all of that kind of nonsense, which the Bible doesn't support, all the way over to the other extent, I don't need one. And I'll just read and roam around from church to church and do my thing this way. Satan has neutralized both groups. God has ordained the local assembly, the pastor teacher, all of these things. But it's not in the wisdom of a man and not even in his education, credentials and all of that. It's the Holy Spirit. So he says that your faith, what is the object of faith? Should not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. What's the power of God? Verse 4, the Holy Spirit. So our faith in the Holy Spirit. Then verses 6 through 8, we have the enemy. Yet we do not speak among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. And we spent some time last night looking at the Old Testament. This refers to satanic powers who are passing away. But we speak of God's wisdom in a mystery, hidden wisdom. So this is God's wisdom. It's in a mystery. That means it's concealed. It will be revealed in a way, but it's concealed. So God's mystery, a hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Note that. We're not here to exegete 1 Corinthians 2, but to our glory. Our glory. Not just His glory or His Son's, but here, our glory. Verse 8, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, before we move on and finish up this aspect of it, look at Matthew chapter 13 with me. Let's put it into a perspective here. Just hold your place, because we're just going to read this quickly. And look over at Matthew chapter 13. Now, I just want to highlight verse 9. It's not really the beginning point. It's the end of the previous, but look at it. He who has an ear, let him hear. And why did he say that? If there's not something behind that, that's a ridiculous thing to just throw in there. And it's like me walking in. All right, everybody has an ear. Hear what I'm saying tonight. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying there's more here, and you're going to have to pay attention to what you're seeing. And now we know how, by faith in the Holy Spirit. All right, verse 10. We'll read it quickly. But, and the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you do that? Most people think that Christ speaks in parables to make it simple. That's incorrect. In fact, it's just the opposite. He speaks in parables to conceal and reveal at the same time. Look what it says, verse 11. So they said, why do you speak to them in parables? Why don't you say it? Why don't you just blurt it out? Verse 11. And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. And we're in the midst of studying that kingdom in John right now. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. Now that doesn't mean of things on earth, that means in the understanding of the mystery. For whoever does, not understanding Bible doctrine either. It's not just learning, having piles of doctrine either. It's understanding the mystery. It's understanding what's going on. That's what's being talked about here. He will have an abundance, but whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables. Why? Because while seeing, they do not see. They see the Word, but they don't see the Word. They see Jesus, but they don't see Him as the Messiah. They see, but they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear. They don't hear. They don't get it. Nor do they understand. So now let's turn back. I just wanted to get that framework for you in the presentation of God's Word. Now we're ready for verse 9. And this verse is filled. Verse 9 is jam-packed. But we're just going to look through it quickly. But just as it is written, we're in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, many people take this as referring to what's going to happen in eternity. I don't see it that way. Many people take this as, well, it's so hidden we're not going to have an understanding of it until we get to heaven. But carefully, if you examine this passage, you will see that this is not so. You and I can have an understanding of the mystery now. Now. And look at some of the things in verse 9. It's freely given. It's freely given to those. So he says, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, prepared for those who love Him. And in verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. This information is given to us. It's there. And we don't have to work for it, and we don't have to wait until we get to heaven. It is there by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to note what's emphasized here in verse 9, in the end of verse 9. For those who love Him. And again, this is another of those great momentums. I'm just so thankful. Almost a passing day now, but definitely with these passing weeks. But I am so thankful for the beginning study of spiritual love, and so desirous to get back. And let's finish up all of the impacts and the understanding of what this love is. We don't have a love that we can just fit into our vocabulary that will satisfy us. No, we've got to understand what the love is that's being talked about. If you love Him, the mystery is revealed to those who love. Now, how do you and I get love? How do you and I get this love for God the Father? How do you and I get this love directed toward Him? Him, reference to Jesus Christ, God the Father. Now, how do we get this love? There are those people who believe you have this as far as you are concerned. It comes from within you, the new man. But as I read the Scripture, this love is from God the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is poured into us by the Holy Spirit. This is not something that I can generate. I cannot generate a love for God. even with the new man. This is something that God, the Holy Spirit, God, as Paul says in Philippians, God is going to have to put even that desire and that love within me. How am I going to be in position for Him to do that? By my faith in God, the Holy Spirit, tap into the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to allow Him to pour in this love directed toward God, this love directed toward Jesus Christ. So, throughout the Word of God, we find faith. In fact, we've seen many passages now, faith and love, spiritual love, going together. And from love, not from obedience, and by obedience, I don't mean the obedience of faith, I mean the way most people use it today. Not by my obeying and being good and doing these things that I think God wants done, but it is by this love that so many things begin to happen. And I am more and more convinced that this is the goal. And when I say love, I'm talking about spiritual love. This is the goal of the born-again believer. And I want you to understand, as sheep in this church, not everybody believes that. There are a lot of people who don't believe that. There are a lot of pastors and movements and churches and denominations have a lot of other goals. Some people will tell you, no, the goal is righteousness. But I can show you a verse where Paul says, no, if you do love, you will do all the righteousness. There are people that say, no, it's learning Bible doctrine. I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. Some will say that the goal is service. That's going to be a result of love. I think that love, the more I understand this book, the mystery and the understanding is the mystery of understanding that love, that spiritual love that we have here. And this is the great issue, because people, when you are in that wonderful spiritual love relationship with God, with Christ, so many things happen when love is there. So many things start to occur in a person's life. For an example, what happens when there is that love? God reveals Himself. Look with me. Hold and look at John. I'm not going to get very far, but look at John chapter 14 that we're in the midst of studying. A powerful verse that we haven't come to yet, but look at John 14:21. Now remember the context of 1 Corinthians 2:9. We're talking about who is He going to reveal this mystery to? To those who what? Love Him. Right? Look at the corresponding of this, the parallel, cross-reference. John 14:21. He who has My commandments, and we know what they are now, he has My commandments and keep them, he it is who loves Me. And he who loves Me. Now love is the issue here. He who loves Me shall be loved by My Father, and I will love him and, what? Disclose Myself to him. People, do you disclose yourself to someone that doesn't love you? No. No. You can't do that. They won't understand. They'll judge. They'll react. All the human things. You reveal yourself to someone that loves you. And when you know someone loves you, then you have the freedom, law of liberty, you have the liberty and the freedom to reveal yourself. We saw this in the Song of Solomon. Make yourself conspicuous in My life. This is what God wants to do. This is what Christ wants to do. He wants to make Himself conspicuous in your life. He wants to reveal Himself to you. Well, He does. All I have to do is study the Bible. You're wrong. And I know that now. It isn't just a matter of accumulating a lot of knowledge. It's done. You're able to see and understand the text when you have this spiritual love directed toward God, your faith toward the Holy Spirit. He then pours in this love And when that love is there, directed toward Jesus Christ, and his love directed toward you, there is a love relationship here, and what happens? He reveals himself to you. He reveals himself to you as you live each day, and it just gets richer and richer and richer and richer. Yes, it takes time to start transforming. 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, being transformed. But once you start those wheels rolling, and you start having this occur where you are being transformed, it may take time for laying aside a lot of the things of the flesh that James and that we've been studying in various passages that just come through our study flow. But Jesus Christ is waiting to do what? He's waiting to reveal himself. He's waiting to manifest himself. The only thing stopping him is that we are not walking in the power of the Spirit so he could pour in that love so that Christ can reveal himself to us. Once we learn and once we make it that battle of faith and we walk by faith, then Christ what? He can reveal himself. Human analogies. They're inexhaustible. You reveal yourself to somebody you love and someone that loves you. Otherwise, you don't feel secure in doing it. You just don't feel secure. And it doesn't take long in life to where you begin to learn, man, don't let anybody know you. Don't let anybody know you because everybody's functioning under this performance standard. They've all got this performance standard. And I'm talking about in human relationships. So, performance standard, that's there for all. Performance standard. See, I got this performance standard, so I know I can't live up to it. So I'm not going to reveal all that I am to my parents. I'm not going to reveal all that I am to even my husband and my wife. Why don't you communicate with me? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Because I don't feel secure in doing it. Because I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be misunderstood. But people, when there is, as we saw in the study of the Song of Solomon, when there is that mutual love going in both directions, then there is no fear. Christ has no problem revealing himself. I'm not going to reveal myself to these Pharisees and to all of these people. Why? Because they want to crucify me anyway. Why do I want to speak to them straightforward and not in a parable? They don't like me anyway. I want to reveal myself to someone who loves. Someone who will value what they learn about me, God, me, Christ. And he's just not going to reveal himself without this love. And I'm showing you two passages, and there are many others. He's just not going to. You can sit there and study the Word of God until you're blue in the face. If you don't have spiritual love directed toward him by the power of the Spirit, by faith, and people, he's not going to reveal himself in your life, in your soul, in your marriage, in your assembly, in your battles, in your work, in your social life, every area you're doing. But when he starts revealing himself, it's a phenomenal thing that goes on in the soul of a believer to start seeing these things. And we'll come to what all that means. It's very rich. I thought he loved everybody. But we'll study what this love means here. But you're just not going to do that to somebody, especially somebody that's dealing with you on a performance standard, as most people have their relationship with God on a performance standard. That's why I gave you those three ways of seeing what the Bible is saying. If you do for me, then I will do for you. Performance. If you don't perform, I won't perform. And then if that's your theology, if that's your relationship with God, then you can understand what your doctrine is going to be of marriage, your doctrine is going to be of human relationships. Performance. It's got to be, if you're consistent at all. But when you and I begin to understand, no, it isn't a performance. I will do for you, trust me. Boom. That's why I will forgive a million times. I will keep on forgiving. Trust me. Trust me. That's all I want. Well, you just trust me. And when he finds those people, you can turn back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When he finds those who love him, he will reveal. And as it says here, in verse 9. You've read John 14:21. Let's read verse 9 again. Things which have not the eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. He will show them. He will reveal it to them, to those who love Him, if we have this love. So from love, Jesus Christ reveals Himself. You reveal yourself to someone. You reveal yourself to someone you love. And you hold back from those who you do not love or do not love you in return. Now look at verse 10. Powerful verse 10. Almost as important in the flow here. Verse 9, they go so powerfully together. For to us. Now who's us here? Who's us? Who's us is those who love Him? That can be you. To us, God revealed them how? Through the Spirit. To those of us who love Him, God revealed them through the Spirit. We're not to wait till heaven. You can have these mysteries known and know all of the glory of Christ right now. All of us can. A great love toward Him and from Him. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the depths of God. This is why the Holy Spirit's our teacher. He's the only one who can teach these things. It's by the Holy Spirit. Goes back with verse 4. Verse 4, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 10, again by the Holy Spirit, the hidden things of God. And how do we have those? By our faith in the Holy Spirit. That produces the love of verse 9, and the Holy Spirit now reveals all of these great truths to us. For to us, God revealed, that's those who love Him, them through the Spirit, got to be in the power of the Spirit. For it is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, searches all things. This gets back to these simple little things I try to give you. They're very simple, but they're so important. Is it here we are, and so we go through His Word in order to know God? No. No. Here we are, and we go through God, God the Holy Spirit, and it is God the Holy Spirit who reveals His Word. In other words, reveals to us all that God wants us to know. But we have to have this relationship first. And then He now, controlling us, empowering us, whatever word you like. People get off on a lot of battles. He empowers, He teaches. When you and I have faith in Him and trust Him, He opens up the Word to us, and we see, put the word see, we see all of these things, we see what's going on, we're able to understand in the definition of Christ, we're able to understand ourselves, we're able to understand our failures, our inadequacies, we're able to understand how wicked we are, but we're able to understand our adequacy in Him. This is what Paul says in Romans 7 and 8. We're able to understand our adequacy in Him, how He values us. This is what I want to teach the children in our children's gospel, to learn to see yourself as God sees you. Someone valuable. Someone to be loved because of the treasure that's placed within us. So we're able to begin to see so many things begin to clear away, and we're able to see and comprehend all of these things. All right, let's move on. Verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Okay, it's just taking a simple concept. First of all, man is limited to the realm of man and understanding. Here's how we know as man. In other words, let me be silly here. Can a dog, I know some of you love dogs, I love dogs, can a dog that we love understand us? No. He's not a human being. I know you think your dog understands you better than your wife or your husband or your children or other people, but let's deal with reality. They don't have the mind. They don't have the spirit of man. They can't understand the turmoils, the frustrations, the joys, the fulfillments, the happinesses, everything. These are things limited to our realm. This is one reason it's so wonderful to have our representative at the throne of God right now. He understands us. He understands us. He knows us. He's one of us. It isn't just a matter of God, man. No. It's the God-man. He knows us because He is one of us. He knows our thoughts because He is one of us. It isn't just a matter of having supernatural knowledge. Now, I'm not belittling that. I'm just talking in the realm of He is man. So He knows. So verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. And you're going to tell me you can understand the Word of God without the power of the Holy Spirit? Look at verse 11. You're not going to. You're going to try this? You're going to try to go to the Word and have the Word reveal God to you? You think you can comprehend this? We lay it aside. It's foolishness. I'm going to have His power for this understanding. See, so it's by our faith in the Holy Spirit. Why our faith in the Holy Spirit? See, this is all these things are important that to put together in this whole puzzle. Why our faith directed toward Jesus Christ for salvation one? We've been studying the three salvations. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one that is sent by God for our salvation. Boom. Why our faith directed in God the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that is sent by God to reveal all of these things, and He says to trust the Holy Spirit to reveal them to you. It doesn't take that much energy to understand these things. It is God, the Holy Spirit, has been sent, and just as you trusted Christ for salvation, we're going to trust the Holy Spirit for salvation as born-again believers. He is the one who has been sent by God. This is very important. There's no scholarship, no wisdom. You know, and I'm guilty. I was guilty of it. Well, I got the original languages, and I got Greek, and all these years of Greek, and I got all these years of Hebrew, and I study out of it. And I even took some Aramaic and Chaldean and Ugaritic and yah, 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 and all that stuff. But it doesn't do it. People, there are geniuses in the languages. Don't be impressed. Don't be impressed. There are geniuses in the language who do not even begin to understand the Word of God. And yet their whole life is studying the Word of God. They could walk circles around me as far as the new principles of various rules of grammar and Greek and Hebrew and all of these things. And I still believe it's going to be a whole bunch. It's going to be a whole group of what you and I will call ignorant, some ignorant old pastors, not just in America, but throughout all church history, who just trusted God and taught their little congregations all over the world, just trust God. And by that, God revealed a great deal, and He made, those pastors made their people Christ-like. And I think there's going to be a lot of hot shots at the Bema seat, the rewards. It's going to be just knowing that they're going to be right there in line. They have thousands, or they have this or that, whatever they have. And they're going to look, and here comes this little old preacher that nobody ever heard of. Ever heard of. He's going to walk away with crowns. How can that be? Because he trusted God. That's how that can be. Now, don't misunderstand me. Languages add a great deal. I am most thankful. I can sit at my desk and give the Holy Spirit a whole dimension to open up for me. But I'm not going to tell anybody you absolutely need that to be able to see the truth of God's Word. I think that's a lie. I think there are things that the Holy Spirit can reveal and does reveal in the richness of the language. Sometimes I read things and it's powerful, how beautiful. But I want you to see here in this verse 11 that it is the Spirit of God who reveals all of these things. So it is not by our great language and all of our scholarship and our abilities, but the simplicity of faith, trusting the Holy Spirit to teach you. That's what he wants. If you want a cross-reference, Job 32, verses 6, 7, and 8. Let's look at it. Job 32, verses 6, 7, and 8. Let's go back and look at it. Job 32. Job 32, 6. Now, we're dealing with Elihu, who is the Christ figure, the friends of Job. The three friends who spoke for Satan have now spoke, and he comes on the scene, verse 2, but the anger of Elihu, the son of Barakel, the side of the family of Ram, burned. His anger burned. Who did it burn against? His anger burned against Job. Now, why did his anger burn against Job? Because Job tried to justify himself before God. Don't ever do that. Hey, God, I did right. I'm good. You've hurt me, or things didn't work out my way, so therefore, God, you're wrong. So we put God in this box. That God, this is the way God acts. Don't ever do that. The moment you think you've defined God, sickness communicates. The moment you think you've defined God, you have confined God. You have confined him to that definition. And when he steps out of that definition, your soul gets all star. Wait a minute. You're not God. You don't do that. That ain't the way God acts. Get back into my definition. And you don't want to do that. He's God. He's infinite. There's no box. There's no perimeter. There's infinity out there. We just trust him. We don't say, well, I got to figure it out. So his anger burned. But look what else. And his anger burned against Job's three friends. Why? Because they had found no answer, and yet they condemned Job. This is the way man is. Now, let's look at verse 6, though. So Elihu, well, it was just complete reading. In verse 4, now Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were years older than he. Does that remind you of? Yeah, Christ didn't go into the temple when he was yet a child. Okay, the older ones, they ought to speak. You ought to know all this, so I'll stand back. Verse 5, and when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of the three men, and here we've had some 30-something chapters of their mouth, in the mouth of the men, his anger burned. So Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, spoke out and said, I am young in years and you are old. Therefore, I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. Verse 7, I thought age should speak and increased years should teach wisdom. That's what you would hope. But that rarely is the case. Verse 8, now this is, let's take a look now, verse 8. But it is a spirit in man, and the breath, Holy Spirit, of the Almighty gives them understanding. It is the Spirit who gives this understanding. You don't have it without the Holy Spirit. It isn't a matter of years of wisdom. It's a matter of the person understand how to trust the Holy Spirit and the understanding of the Word of God. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're ready for verse 12. I got to make a little move here. Verse 12. All right, verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. This is at our redemptive salvation. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God. That, now here's why, that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Dear people, do you see the word freely given? Now, if you think that means you got to perform and then God will give them, then you don't understand freely given. This is why I put it on the board and why to me it's so important that we get it. This is the way some people, how you see and hear what the Word of God is saying. And some people, if you do for me,
then I will do for you. Promise. Trust me. Or I will do for you. Promise. Trust me. This is the way I see the Word of God being written. I'll do it for you. Now, why did we spend some time last week and 2 weeks ago in Jacob? Jacob even quoted the gospel message. Jacob even quoted the promises of God. And then what did he say? So I'm going to go out and really work hard so that you can do that for me. Abraham heard it, and what? I trust you. I believe you. I'm taking it. And he got it. No, Jacob had to keep working for it. And not until he was an old man dying did he finally get it. Abraham heard it, boom. Caleb. Caleb, just any one of you is Caleb. He isn't any, you know, we don't have any greatness about Caleb. In fact, there's even an idea that he may not even be a Jew. Hey, there's your land. I give it to you. Go take it. But go. God said he's going to do it. He didn't say, if I did this, he didn't say, he just said, go take it. Let's go. Everybody else, whole million people. No, we don't want to. What? We're afraid to go across. Now, let me get this straight. You're not afraid to try to obey all of the Mosaic law, but you're afraid just to trust God and walk across Jordan. Yep. Something's wrong here. He just trusted. And when he's an old man, don't get this idea that somehow over all those years when the 40 years of people dying out, somehow Caleb and Joshua were miraculously held against all the laws of gravity, and their, in other words, their body didn't get old and start dropping. No, they were old. Didn't bother Caleb. Hey, I trust you. You said it. And I trust you. Went across Jordan, went up the hill, slaughtered giants. How? Faith. I trust you. That's all God's looking for. And that's why we went and looked at those passages. Freely given. Or do you think you've got to do something to have all of this understanding? You've got to get more and more and more, and you've got to do this, and you've got to... No. Just trust me. Faith. Faith directed toward that one I sent, God the Holy Spirit, and boom, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. That's all. Freely given. It's a beautiful verse. When you and I exercise our faith, it sets the Holy Spirit free. It's what I call the law of liberty, law of freedom. To have the Holy Spirit so that we might know the deep mysteries, and we might know, and what? So Christ can reveal himself to you. He wants to. His desire is to do that. People, one of the greatest pains is to want to reveal yourself to someone that you love and they won't let you. It's prodigal son. The old man is back at this mansion, the prodigal son's father, just waiting. And I got rooms in this mansion. I've got money. I've got stock. I've got everything. Waiting to give it to this kid. I know, talking to the oldest brother who was there. Yeah, I know he took his inheritance. I want to give him more. And that really bothered the older brother, so we know all about him. I'm talking about the father. Just waiting to reveal how much he has. Waiting to reveal how much love he has. Can he do it while this sucker's over here with the hogs? No. Can't do that. But as soon as he comes back, boom, faith. Walk up, the father's ready. No questions asked, no performance, no confession, no all of this stuff. He's already repented. He's already acknowledged it. When did he acknowledge? I'm wrong over here. When did he repent? Boy, I don't even deserve anything. But I'm going home. Faith. That's all the father wanted. That's all the father wanted. Boom, just standing there waiting. This is God. Waiting to reveal himself to you. This is Christ. Waiting to reveal himself to every one of you people sitting here. Waiting to reveal himself to all 20 of us. Just waiting. to reveal his person. No, I want money. I want rewards. I want to work for you. I want to earn it. No. You're not going to get it then. You're not going to get it. Just trust me, and I'll reveal myself. You can have an intimate, personal, dynamic relationship with your Savior, moment by moment, if you'll let yourself, by faith, do it. Flesh gets in the way. Performance gets in the way. Satan's attacks get in the way. All kinds of things get in our way. But boy, once you begin to see how free and how he just is standing there to give these things, it's all there. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, grace and love, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. This is the law of freedom, the law of faith, not the law of performance. We're going to move away from it, people. And boy, if you want to stick around for a series on marriage, it's going to be unbelievable. Because it ain't going to be anything like that I've done or very few places I've ever seen. And we understand how we relate with God. All right, verse 13. That's why I want to get back to 1 John. I don't want to get back to 1 John to keep browbeating this thing. I want to get back and talk a little bit about he's already cleansed, he's already forgiven. I want to talk a little bit about cleansing and forgiving, so that we can put that into our inner relationship with God as well as with each other. Now, verse 13. Continues. Which things, now, freely given us to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Holy Spirit. You know, what does that mean, not in words taught by... Does that mean he's not going to use, in our case, English? Yeah, he's going to use English. If you have an eye and an ear, though, you'll understand it isn't going to be just in those words. It's going to be in that message, that mystery that the eye of faith can see. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Holy Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. People, there are those who are never going to understand what I'm teaching and what the Word of God is teaching in regard to things we've been studying, Salvation 1 and Salvation 2 and then Salvation 3, and then we studied the faith. But right now, how you and I receive this righteousness at the cross, how we receive a living righteousness, again by faith, and a righteousness here, and the place that faith plays. No, they're not going to see it. Man must do. Do and do, Isaiah 28. They're never going to see it. There will be those, though, who will see what the Spirit is saying. So verse 13, which things we also speak, not in the words taught by human understanding, human wisdom, psychology, humanology, all of these types of things, but in those taught by the Holy Spirit, combining the spiritual with the spiritual. In other words, the Holy Spirit causing us to understand. He reveals the hidden truth. Verse 14, but a natural man, the natural man, that's the old man, that's our old man. You come to Bible class and you sit here in the power of the old man, boom, you're going to get nothing. Might aggravate you. It might aggravate you. It might stimulate. It might be, oh, this is really, cool stuff. But you never see what's going on inside. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. It's impossible for the flesh to understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him. What's foolishness to him? The gospel. I told you Sunday, the gospel is a trap. That we're saved by grace and faith alone? No, it can't be that easy. It's a trap. It's designed to be that way. How you and I receive blessings as Christians, it's a trap. Why? And people just stumble all over it. No, I just can't be free. I got to work for it. I got to earn it. Why? Because that's the way I think you have to deal with God, and that's the way I think you have to deal with each other, and that's the way I'm going to deal with my children and my wife and my husband. My friend, performance, and it stumble right over the gospel. Stumble right over grace. When you see it, you go, wow, why wouldn't anybody have run to this? Why wouldn't the whole world run to God's grace? Because it's a stumbling block to the flesh. It's not going to comprehend it. It's foolishness to him. Let's continue, verse 14. And he cannot understand them. That's as simple as you can make it. He cannot understand them, the old man. Because they are what? Spiritually appraised. Now, that spiritually appraised is kind of the reason I just used the word, as I told you before, not to be different, cute, or clever. Spiritual love. It lets anyone here know this is love that comes by the Holy Spirit in the spiritual man, a spiritual impact, all of those kind of things. They're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually understood in the realm of the power of God the Holy Spirit. So we have the old man and new man in verse 14. Now verse 15. But he who is spiritual, filled with the Spirit, powered by the Spirit, appraises all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no man. Spiritual insight into all things. How? By the illuminating ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Now, let's put that with something. Look at Romans 8:28. You may know it, but look at it with me. Romans 8:28. Going to have an insight study in regard to a very quick study, but some things in Romans. But look at Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. What? To those who, there you have it again. Love Him. Love Him. All things. No, it doesn't say just good things that happen. God's going to work the good things to come together for good. All things. But what do we have? Love. And how do we get the love? Faith. That's all God wants. Trust me. Trust me. I'll bring that to good. Will you trust me? And what happens? We run. We commit suicide. We church hop. We take off. We don't trust Him. Just stand still and watch what He's going to do. We don't trust Him. And we know that all things that God causes, all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now go back and look at verse 15 again with that in mind. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. That is, he appraises all the things going on spiritually, eliminating ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yet he himself is appraised by no man. People don't go around judging each other. God can do a great job without our help. We only get in the way and cause a lot of trouble. We're not here to appraise each other. We're here to pray for each other, encourage one another in spiritual love. All right, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? Now, who has known the mind of the Lord? God the Holy Spirit has known the mind of the Lord. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ that we have? The Holy Spirit knows the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one, that's what it says. He knows the mind of Christ, that he should instruct him. God the Holy Spirit is the one who has the mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the mind of Christ in you. And that's how he can instruct into these deep mysteries. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Cross-reference Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verses 12 through 16. Ephesians 4, 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. People, don't translate that doctrine. That's faith. That's where we encourage each other to walk and live by faith. All right. And of the knowledge. Now you come to the knowledge. And of the knowledge of God. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Knowledge of the Son of God really, as we're going to see, becomes the knowledge of His love. Having the mind of Christ, having the Holy Spirit, is what? It's having love. It's having the love of Christ. Did I make a leap? Did I make a quantum leap to say that? Let's find out if I did or not. Let's continue reading. Alright? Verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and they will do it. They can manipulate the word by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, this is our working together as an assembly of believers, which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. Each one of you have a spiritual gift. Each one of you have a contribution to the body. Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This is how we build up. This is what we are in this respect to build up. What is the mind of Christ? It's love. Look at Ephesians 3. At Ephesians 3:10. In order that the manifold wisdom of God, all right, here's that understanding, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities. Where, people? It says in the heavenly places. Do you see that? You and I are here in the spiritual warfare. Angels are watching. Angels are watching your marriage. Angels are watching this church. Angels are watching every aspect of your life and of my life, of our life, as a corporate body of believers and individually. We're in a conflict. Verse 11, that's very important. Verse 11, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ. There's your mystery. This is according to the eternal purpose. It goes all the way back to the prehistoric battle. Which He carried out, He, God, carried out. I promise I'll do it by myself. I'll do it alone. And He did it how? In Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness. We have this boldness in Christ and confident access through faith. We have confident access through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations. Continue reading yourself, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven, this is His prayer, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He, now here's His prayer, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Holy Spirit. So that's the power we're going to get is strengthening the power of the Holy Spirit in the inner man, that's the new man, so that Christ may dwell in your heart. How? Through faith. Your faith in the Holy Spirit is the presence of Christ in you, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. People, if you have the mind of Christ, you have the love of Christ. You're going to have and be able to love as Christ loved. Verse 18. May be able to comprehend, okay, here it is now, mind of Christ, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. So you and I can know the truth, we can understand the truth, we can understand what our goal is. We can understand the mysteries of God Himself, revealed to us by God Himself, if we walk the faith in the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us. So we have, in closing this session, so the next Tuesday we'll get right into Romans 3, and righteousness and how we receive righteousness. We have the mystery. And what is the mystery? The mystery is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is why God can do what Satan said He can't do. Make clean that which is unclean. And so now, how? How are we going to understand all of this? By the power of God the Holy Spirit. How do we access the power of God the Holy Spirit? Our faith. It is our faith, His power, that we're going to understand Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is we're going to understand His love. And then it will flow through you, and this is what the world is going to see. If the world is going to see the love of Christ, people, they're going to see it in you. He's gone. He is gone. He is absent from the earth. He's departed from the earth. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. In the millennium, He'll sit in Jerusalem. And the whole world, all people on earth, will be able to see His love there. But right now, if the world is going to see His love, and that is the issue. Now, I know there are those who want to make righteousness the issue and other things. The Bible, I think, without any hesitation, makes seeing this love. This is so difficult. It's much easier to be vigilant for righteousness. That's what Satan is. That's why he runs up to the throne every time we sin. Boy, you can't use them, they sin. What Christ wants us to reveal is this love. And if the world is going to see the love of Christ, where are they going to see it? In you and me. How you and I love. And if we haven't been affected by this love, then we cannot affect somebody else by it. Until we have been affected by the love, then we will know what that love should do. I know what the love of Christ did to me. Therefore, I know what my love ought to do to other people. And when it doesn't do that, what do I know? I know I'm not empowered by the Spirit. I know I'm walking in the flesh. Love is the greatest test of whether or not you're walking in flesh or walking in the Spirit. If my love isn't attracting, and if my love doesn't do what God's love does for me, Christ's love does for me, I know one thing. Boom, I'm out. And what I need to do is get back into walking by that trust so that what? So He can pour that love. And that love of Christ can have that impact with other people, and then they will know how Christ loves. They will know, one, that Christ loves, and two, how Christ loves. If someone's going to know that God loves or Christ loves, they're going to know it from you and from me. If they're going to know how Christ loves, they're going to know it from you and from me. And that's why we have to be on a moment-by-moment guard. People, Satan and the flesh, boom, they come through so quick to counter it. In the local assembly, in your marriages, in your work. Just boom, seeps in there. And that's why we have to constantly walk by faith. Trust Him. And He pours in this love, and that love has its effect. And other people know, yes, Christ loves, because I know that love now, and I know how He loves. And I know how now I'm going to receive this righteousness. All right, this will take us where we're going to pick up Tuesday night. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for Your Word. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for God the Holy Spirit who will reveal these truths to us, cause us to understand these things, Father. Pray that we will enjoy the coming together, going through more and more Scripture, more and more understanding, Heavenly Father, making some progress through Your Word and understanding these wonderful things that You have given to us, these riches that wait. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, the revelation of it, the illumination of it, that we can understand who and what You are, that, Father, we can put ourselves as recipients of this love and also demonstrators of it. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.